Okay, today we celebrate Easter. There's the one of the scriptures that relate to that. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." It's a very special day, especially for the church, but also for the world. It's the greatest event in human history that has ever occurred. Jesus, our Lord, who came to save us from our sins, died on the cross, became sin for us so that we could be forgiven. And then, a couple of days later, because death could not hold him, he was risen from the dead, risen to new life. If he had not risen, we would have been still forgiven for our sins because he died on the cross for our sins. But when it came time for this earthly body to die, death still would have had dominion over us. But Jesus conquered death for us. And because he arose from the dead, we will too, because our faith is placed in him. That is the promise that we have from God the Father. If we place our faith and trust in him, we will one day rise just like him. Death cannot hold us either, and we will rise to eternal life, to spend all eternity with God. What a special day indeed it is for all of us. But as I was thinking about Easter this past week and thinking about what to speak about, I was reminded that a number of years ago, Easter fell roughly at the same time, except that instead of being March 31st, it was April 1st when Easter fell. And I'm reminded of some of the things that I said back then. And the message that I gave, that's quite a few years ago. I don't know how many of you were here to hear that. But think about this for a moment. Satan knew all along who Jesus was, the Son of God. He knew that Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring the kingdom to earth. Although many people were expecting an earthly kingdom, Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom. He did not come to have himself proclaimed as king of a worldly, earthly kingdom. Many misunderstood that. Those who proclaimed him king on Palm Sunday thought that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire because they were proclaiming him king. That's what they were expecting, that he was going to subdue the Romans and restore the kingdom to Israel. But he didn't do that. But Satan did everything in his power to try and thwart Jesus' plan to come and bring the kingdom on earth. So a few days after Palm Sunday, he stirs up the religious leaders, even though it didn't take much to stir them up. They all hated Jesus to begin with because they were threatened. They didn't want to lose their position or authority. So he stirred up the religious leaders, he stirred up the Romans, and Jesus was betrayed, arrested, tried and convicted, and sentenced to death on a Roman cross. Yes, a few short days later, after that triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, he was crucified. Satan thought he won. Christ was killed. Jesus died. Satan thought the game was over. He had succeeded in preventing Jesus from establishing the kingdom. Little did he know that on the third day, Jesus burst forth from the tomb in new life. Yes. Death could not hold him. Nothing can hold him. Nothing can prevent him from accomplishing his will or the will of the Father. So just as I had mentioned back then in that previous message that I mentioned, it was just as if Jesus said to Satan, "April Fool." Yeah. Satan really is a fool. He thought that he was smarter than God. He thought he could outwit him. He thought he could overcome and stop the plans that he had and everything. Nobody can. We can't. Satan can't. Nobody can. God is almighty. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. He has eternal life. He's perfect in every way. Nothing, nothing at all can thwart his plans for us. But one of the other things that I wanted to talk about today, and really the main thing, but I just thought it was kind of interesting, you know, that tomorrow is April Fool. And we can be reminded of the fact that anyone who thinks that they can fight against God and succeed is a fool. Or anyone who does not believe that he exists is likewise a fool. But one of the things I wanted to do was go back to Advent. Advent was only a few short months ago. We celebrated the Christmas season. Do you remember what we did each week during Advent? We had four candles up here that we lit. When the fifth candle, the center one, was on Christmas Eve, but the four Sundays preceding Christmas, we lit one candle. The first candle was the candle of hope. And there are many scriptures that talked about hope, the hope that Christ would bring to his people. Because prior to his coming, there really wasn't much hope for anybody. Life was tedious, difficult, painful, sorrowful. And what happens when you die? You die in your sins. There's no hope. Scripture talks about that, about dying and going down to what they call Sheol, the place of the dead, and that's where you were forever, with no hope. But Jesus came to give hope. The second candle that we lit was peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Scripture talks about that too. Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace. He is our peace. At least that was the promise of the Old Testament scriptures, both hope and peace. And then the third candle that we lit was joy. Well, I'll tell you, if you suddenly have hope in your life and peace in your heart, you can't help but not be joyful, right? Knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing that you have peace with God, that's the kind of peace we're talking about. Because from the time that Adam sinned, and Eve, there was enmity, hostility between God and mankind. That's just the way it was. Sin broke the relationship. But sin had to be dealt with in order for that relationship to be restored. And Jesus came to do that, to give us the joy of knowing that our sins were forgiven and we now had peace with God. And then the fourth candle that we lit was the candle of love. Without God's love, none of that would have happened. It was only because God loved us so much, each one of us, that Jesus came to this earth. He didn't have to. He didn't have to take human form and suffer all the same things that we do. And for 30 years, he lived on this earth, leading the life of a normal human being. And then the last 3 years, he entered into his ministry to proclaim the kingdom of God to the people, to give them hope, to give them peace and joy, all because of God's vast love. We think we understand love, but human love cannot compare with God's love. He loves us so much that he was willing, Jesus was willing to come to this earth to suffer such an excruciatingly painful death just so we could have our sins forgiven and to be able to spend eternity with him. That was Advent. And all of those were promises from the Old Testament. But Jesus' resurrection was the fulfillment of those things, the fulfillment of those promises. When Jesus proclaimed on the cross, "It is finished," yes, his work of redemption was completed. He died that our sins would be forgiven. But that wasn't enough. Death still needed to be overcome. Death still needed to be conquered. And he did that a couple of days later. He is the fulfillment. Easter is the proclaiming of the completion of all of that work, the fulfillment of every single promise that he had made to us. The only promise that remains now is that he is coming back someday to take us to be with him. We don't know when that's happening, but we do know that he is coming. Coming back for each one of us who professes faith in him, trusting him for our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and for the promise of eternal life. We, in turn, even though we may die physically in these bodies, we will experience resurrection in the same way that he did. And just as Jesus ascended into heaven to return to his Father, when we are resurrected, we will too. The war has been won, even though there are still battles that are being fought. We are still fighting battles against the enemy, Satan, who is not going quietly, but nevertheless, his destruction is sure. We have that promise. Hell was created for him and his angels, not for us. Satan ultimately will be cast into hell. But those of us who believe will be able to spend eternity with God in heaven, free from all pain and suffering and death and sorrow. It'll be wonderful. Yes, the fight continues right now. We struggle against sin because we still do sin. But God has left us here for the time being. Not because he wants to inflict any kind of pain or discomfort on us, but that he wants to strengthen us in the faith. He wants us to grow spiritually, to become strong in our faith and in our trust of him. The scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He wants to work in us a greater faith, a greater trust in him, that in a sense we might become worthy to spend eternity with him. He wants to purify us. Those of us that have been walking with him a number of years know that that's true. He changes us little by little to become more and more like Jesus. Because after all, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he comes to reside within us. So when he sees us, he looks upon us, he sees his son Jesus. And he's working ever so lovingly and ever so slowly to change us into his likeness. All because of his love. The few short years that we experience on this earth is nothing compared to the eternity that we will spend with him. And he made it all possible because of his death and resurrection. We have much to celebrate this day. It is a day of rejoicing, true rejoicing. No matter what we might be experiencing this day, no matter what circumstances we may be in, no matter what struggles we might be facing, it is a day of rejoicing. Jesus has conquered sin. He has conquered death. What more could we ask for? We have been granted eternal life. So I say praise God and hallelujah. What a day of rejoicing this should be for all of us. And actually, every day, we should be celebrating it. Every day. Every day is a new day of life. Every day can be a resurrection day. Every day, we can sense God's presence in our lives and his blessings. And we can experience his love. His love knows no bounds. If only we had a greater sense of exactly how much he does love us. We understand it in our minds, but it's another thing to actually feel it. And I pray that God would enable us to do that, to truly feel his love, know his love, and then we can extend it to others. But this is Easter. A day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, a day to praise our God and Savior. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you mean to us. Thank you for loving us so much. I marvel at that, Lord, many times. Who are we that you, the pure and holy God, should love us, sinful men and women? But thank you that you do, Lord. Thank you that you made provision for us, that you saved us from our sins, that you conquered death for us, that we don't have to experience an eternity in darkness and pain and suffering. But there will be nothing but joy and peace and rejoicing when that day comes when you return for us. thank you for it all, Lord. We praise you this day. And hopefully every day for the rest of our lives. For you are worth praising and honoring. May all the glory be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.